Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. Today is a very somber day. January 22nd each year is a solemn reminder of a horrendous evil. The Supreme Court decision, forever memorialized, is Roe v. Wade. When I Googled Roe anniversary today, the first two entries I saw were a study in contrast. The first was a letter from the Diocese of Sacramento signed by its bishop. The letter urged people of goodwill to observe this day with prayers for the legal protection of human life, for works of mercy and penance in reparation for the persistent violations of human dignity inflicted by the practice of abortion. Directly following the first entry was a clarion call by Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood decrying what was described by them as a tireless and cruel attack on access to abortion, and then a call to honor the fundamental right to bodily autonomy. A right, says Planned Parenthood, we can no longer count on the Supreme Court to uphold. But then I read a third article this morning. That article authored by an African American named Aaron Turner. The article titled, Black Lives Matter Inside the Womb and Out. It was an article featured in our very own Christian Research Journal. Here's in part what Aaron Turner writes. He says, while it's good for our culture to wrestle with the question regarding the use of deadly force by police against black citizens, a far greater danger against black lives is going largely unnoticed and unprotested by the black community. I'm speaking of the danger posed to black lives by abortion. When all is said and done, I fear that my community, says Aaron, the black community may end up being guilty of straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. If black lives truly matter in this country, they must matter where they are most at risk. And the most dangerous place to be black in America is not in a car pulled over by a police officer, nor in the hood. The most dangerous place to be black in America is inside a mother's womb. Until black lives matter in the womb, they don't truly matter in America. It would be hard to exaggerate the extent by which abortion is decimating the black population in America. Black babies are killed at a much greater rate than white babies. To put the matter more succinctly, abortion is the number one cause of death among black Americans today, and that by far. In fact, if we consider three of the top leading causes of death for black Americans, namely heart disease, diabetes, homicide and the like, we find that more black people die from abortion than from all of those leading causes combined, and not only by a little bit, but at least twice over and likely three times over. These statistics ought to shock us. They ought to horrify us, for all black lives matter. These are not just statistics. This is a holocaust of precious brown and black babies. Babies created in the image of God who have been snuffed out as if they were merely biological matter. But they're not merely matter. They matter. Not even the Ku Klux Klan could have dreamt up a more diabolical system and practice to bring about the decimation and devaluation of the black community, as has the present-day system and practice of abortion. The American abortion enterprise is intolerable. It's unjust for the unborn of all ethnicities, but disproportionately for black unborn babies. The significant and evil effect of this system on black people demands a response from anyone who truly believes that black lives matter. Well, Aaron Turner not only curses this systemic darkness, but he provides a template for action. First, says Aaron, we must pray, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Prayer is a more important weapon in this battle than any of us could possibly imagine. Second, churches need to speak up on the issue of abortion. Says Aaron, from my own personal experience and from my conversations with fellow black clergy, the black church is largely silent on the abortion crisis taking place within its own community. This may be because pastors are not aware of how serious the crisis is. It may be that they fear sounding too politically conservative. It may even be that they desire more to address root systemic issues, and so on. But whatever the hindrances, black churches need to speak up out of faithfulness to God and love for their unborn neighbor and kin. Thirdly, says Aaron, we need to come alongside black women, and especially black single mothers, assuring them that if they decide to keep their baby, the body of Christ will be there to support them along the way. We should anticipate that Satan and the world will point to poverty, point to uncertainty, to justify a black mother killing her unborn child. By supporting black mothers, this tactic will be defanged. And along these lines, it would be powerful to see a movement of black Christians heartbroken over this crisis and then eager to adopt black children from moms out of love and a recognition of the great courage that they had in carrying their child to term, even though they concluded that they would not adequately be able to care for their child given life circumstances. Oftentimes, what hinders black women from keeping their children is the fear that they will not be able to financially support them. And that means that non-black Christians who are more well-off should come alongside black families, come alongside moms with whom they have a relationship, and then offer them financial support. Non-black Christians can also donate to organizations such as crisis pregnancy centers, which provide for the physical needs of women who decide to carry their babies to term. At a political level, they can advocate for policies that promote economic justice for the black community and non-black Christians can open their home to both foster and adopt a black child who is in need of a home. Well, there's much more that I could say about this. The totality of Aaron's article is in the Christian Research Journal, and it is worth reading over and over again. I think it's poignant and profound. And when I come back from the break, I want to talk about just what we're talking about when we're talking about abortion. I've done this for many, many years, and I don't think we should ever grow tired of making a clarion call for people to act as they can act on this issue of surpassing importance. I'll be right back.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandemia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
Again, that's equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, talking about the ravages of abortion on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And as I've pointed out in years past, there have been eloquent remarks made by scientists demonstrating the reality that abortion takes the life of a person. I think of what Dr. Matthew Roth said, and that to a United States Senate subcommittee. He said, to accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into existence is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention. It is plain old experimental evidence. And so the abortion epidemic that is ravaging America today is a tragic consequence, a consequence of decadence, a consequence of a society that no longer values the individual human worth of each member. It is the consequence of worshiping the idol of selfism, an idol that replaces the objective word of God with subjective preferences and social mores. 1/3 of the children conceived in America, maybe more, will be savagely slaughtered before they are born. And yet this horrifying Holocaust can be halted if those who value human life worship the true God, obey His word, and become informed, committed, and involved. I think it might be well for me to give you a little sense of what abortion is now doing. The numbers are staggering. Just legal abortions number some 60 million black babies in the United States since 1973, 19 million aborted just so far this year. And I'm only talking about the United States. There have been 46,000 abortions. And this is only January 22nd. And worldwide? Well, since 1980, more than 1,600,000,000. The numbers are simply staggering. And what is abortion? I think we do well to remember that while rhetoric has served to camouflage the carnage of abortion, the fact remains that abortion involves the painful killing of innocent human beings. I say painful because the methods employed involve burning, smothering, dismembering, crushing. And these procedures are executed on live babies, not specifically anesthetized. Abortion involves killing because the zygote that fulfills the criteria needed to establish the existence of biological life is indeed terminated. In Woman in the New Race, the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, acknowledged this lethal termination. In fact, here's what she said. The most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. Abortion kills innocent human beings. The child who is terminated is the product of human parents and has a totally distinct human genetic code. And although the emerging embryo does not have a fully developed personality, it does have full personhood from the moment of conception. So far from deserving capital punishment, these innocent human beings deserve care and protection. I shudder to think what Hollywood is saying today about abortion. Whoopi Goldberg, very, very popular as a comedian and a television personality, she reacted to anti-abortion sentiments by saying that abortion rights advocates would take pro-life advocates more seriously if they're willing to adopt babies slated for abortion. Let me put that another way. What Whoopi was saying is, if you won't adopt my babies, don't tell me I can't kill them. And then tolerance, which has become the first and greatest commandment of the pro-abortion lobby, its essence forever memorialized in the oft-repeated refrain, don't like abortion? Well, don't have an abortion, but just don't impose your morality on me. At first blush, mantras like this sound tolerant, but a moment's consideration exposes the flaws. Imagine someone in the interest of tolerance applying the same reasoning to rape. Don't like rape? Don't rape anyone. Just don't impose your antiquated morality on me. We do well to remember that tolerance with respect to personal relationships, of course, is virtue. But tolerance with respect to truth is a travesty. While conceding that science has demonstrated that human life begins at conception, there are some pro-abortionists like the late Carl Sagan who argued that the fetus is a non-person until the second or third trimester of gestation. Only then does the creature, he said, become a child. In reality, we are distinctly human in each stage of our development. Moreover, we are conceived not only with all the earmarks of biological life, but with eternity etched in our hearts. Put another way, both the physical and the non-physical aspect of our humanity are present at the moment of conception. These truths have been taught by the Christian community, even in the midst of an onerous culture that was part and parcel of the Roman Empire. I think back to the Didache. Didache means teaching and represents the teaching of our Lord according to the 12 apostles. And the Didache provided moral instruction concerning everything from adultery to abortion. The earliest explicit indication in extant Christian literature that the act of murder forbidden by the sixth commandment includes abortion. And of course, there are explicit statements in the Didache. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not corrupt boys. You shall not commit fornication. You shall not steal. You shall not practice magic. You shall not practice sorcery. You shall not murder a child by abortion or kill a newborn infant. Well, why is this? I suppose Scripture says it best. It always does. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. How precious are your thoughts, O Lord, and how great it would be if we would continue to communicate those thoughts to our children and to theirs. And how wonderful if by God's grace he might use the church as salt and light to overturn a pandemic of pandemics in our midst. May we continue to pray and do all we can to that end. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.